Joining us right now, Dr. Sebastian Gorka, a counterterrorism and irregular warfare expert. His new book, Defeating Jihad, The Winnable War, is available now and must be read. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Gorka.
Good morning. It's my pleasure. Good morning, Gunny. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning.
Love to talk to you first. I have plenty of things to talk to you about, but let's start with what happened in Germany yesterday as we saw a gunman. It's still unclear here if it was an actual a gun or not, or if he had actual shells or blanks, but either way, he inflicted terror upon the people in a movie theater in the city of Viernheim, and we thought of you immediately because you've been warning about soft targets for quite some time. No matter what kind of motive behind a terrorist attack, these soft targets are dangerous places to be, and Germany saw exactly what happened yesterday. Tell me what we can learn here in America.
Right. Well, the jury is still very much out on this attack yesterday. We don't even really know the identity of the perpetrator. What we do know, latest reports, is that he was carrying two items, one a handgun, one a rifle, or at least they looked like them. The reports are that they were blank firing. They weren't real weapons. He was a 19-year-old, took 20 people hostage, and very, very swiftly, unfortunately, not like Orlando, special units were deployed and the individual was killed. So we'll have to wait and see what exactly his motivations are. But this, if it is something that is terrorism linked, then it fits into the pattern, as you indicated, of what they're doing now. If you connect the two Paris attacks to Brussels, to San Bernardino, to Orlando, it's a very disturbing trend because they're not going for spectacle. The jihadists aren't going for the big 9/11 kind of attack anymore. They're going for high concentrations of unarmed civilians, whether it's a nightclub, whether it's a soccer match in Paris. This is what ISIS has actually been saying in their English language jihadi periodicals for a long time, and it looks as if people are taking that tactical advice to heart and looking for as many civilians as you can in one place, whether it's a check-in desk in Brussels or whether it's a Christmas party in California.
What do you know about the German authorities that seem to react so quickly? Are they as, hear about our New York City police department being so spun up on terrorism. Is Germany really at a state of being prepared for these type of attacks, or was this just luck?
Well, it's a very good question. So I've been working with the European authorities for several months now since San Bernardino with the law enforcement, and there's been a sea change. They may not have rewritten their textbooks on these kinds of crises, but almost immediately after San Bernardino, there was an informal recognition that the days of call in the hostage negotiator and send in boxes of pizza, mm-hmm. that's gone. Mm-hmm. Now there's a pretty universal understanding. Whoever arrives first has to go in. There's not going to be negotiations. There's not going to be hostage release. The jihadis are interested in wiping out as many people as possible, so you don't wait. There is nothing to be gained from waiting, only the death of innocent civilians. So I think Germany may have taken this to heart, and they deploy the SEK special unit as quickly as possible and went in there and neutralized the threat.
German efficiency at work. Let me shift you over. So let's stay in Europe, though, but shift over to Great Britain. The ramifications of the Brexit vote from your perspective, and how national security for the Brits factored into this. Everyone, all the elites, David Cameron, Barack Obama, they all want to make this about trade and about economy. But when you look at the polls, a lot of this had to do with the culture. It had to do with protecting the borders and what it means to be British, and also national security because of the influx of migrants that was dictated by an out-of-touch government in Brussels. What's your take?
Well, Larry, as somebody who grew up in the UK, I'm very, very happy for this, and I think you're right. This isn't about trade, and I see the markets reacting in a kind of hysterical way. If you look at the dollar to the pound. They're only reacting like that because markets like stability, and to them this is, you know, smacks of something they can't predict. Mm-hmm. This is not about economics. This is about sovereignty and about national security. It really is a dual explanation that you have to look for here. The Brits were fed up with faceless individuals in Brussels dictating to them what they could or couldn't do. And the migrant crisis just drove the nail in the coffin of this centralizing crypto-socialist project that is the European Union. If you look at the fact that, unfortunately, Secretary Kerry made a stunning statement on Monday. He said there is no proof, and I repeat, zero proof, that the jihadists are exploiting refugee streams. He's wrong. Either he's lying or he knows nothing of which he speaks. Mm. The Brussels attackers used falsified Syrian passports, and one of them claimed refugee status to stay in the European continent. That is the smoking gun. ISIS, the jihadis, are using the refugee streams, and I think common sense won out during the Brexit debate.
Dr. Sebastian Gorka, we have to leave it there. It's always good to have you, but we have a very busy morning, and we are moving on, but thanks for lending your voice.
Thank you, doctor.